It's Monday, the 29th of February, 2016. Happy birthday to Chucky Brown, Fontigo Cummings, and every leap year baby. The Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast, brought to you by Moneyball.com.au and Perfect 10 out of 10. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you want to be like Perfect 10 out of 10 and sponsor the podcast, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes just like Perfect did, and you can sponsor the podcast and show your support in that way. Of course, a big thanks go out to Moneyball.com.au, the season's sponsor of the podcast, so make sure you're getting behind Moneyball if you live in Australia and New Zealand. Not only is it helpful for me, but it's also great fun to play some DFS action. I'm sure if you listen to this podcast, you want more ways to show your fantasy knowledge off. All right, we had a pretty weird day in the NBA in Sunday, just some odd performances. We're going to talk about all that. We're going to preview Monday's action. So
let's get to it.
All right. Let's start off with the daily contests on Instagram. We're looking for Ish Smith. How many combined points and assists Ish would get? The total was 24, and no one got it, except for the person who decided they're going to be smart and post the answer after the game was done. So no, you don't get it. I'm not even going to give your name a shout out. You don't get it. Because, yeah, what's the point of posting the answer after the game's done? Congratulations. 24 is yours. Well done. On Facebook, we were looking for Dirk Nowitzki. How many combined points and rebounds would Dirk get? The total was 14, and no one got that right. So if you get Monday's ones right, you both get double pride. Whoever wins Instagram and Facebook, you get a double shout-out because it's jackpotted. And on Instagram, we're looking for Paul George combined points, rebounds, and assists. And on Facebook, we're looking at Darren Collison combined points and steals. They will go up on the respective sites. Instagram is at @redrock_bball and Facebook is facebook.com/redrockbasketball. So make sure you're not only following those pages, liking them, but interacting with the posts as well and getting some conversation happening, especially on Facebook where there's a few guys who are commenting on there quite regularly, and I just want to see it grow more and more because I think it's a great place to talk fantasy basketball, not only with me but with other listeners of the show as well. All right, we're going to get straight into talking about the lines of the night, and we're going to go to the monstrous line of the night as we always do first up, and that goes to Chandler Parsons of the Dallas Mavericks. This was a blowout, this game, hence why Dirk had such low totals. He only played 17 minutes, but Parsons, in his 27 minutes, he scored 29 points. He hit 4 triples, had 6 rebounds, 4 assists, and 1 steal, and did it on 10 of 15 shooting and went 5 of 5 from the free throw line. Also had no turnovers, hit 57% of his threes. Not far from his best game. He has been ramping things up lately. In the last 2 weeks, he's a top 20 player. He's averaging over 20 points, 4.5 rebounds, 3.5 assists, 3 triples, and 1.2 steals. I think that around the All-Star breaks, people were asking me who are guys who we think are going to have big second halves. He was the guy that I was really, one of the guys I was really looking at, and he's turned it on. His field goal percentage is out of control at the moment. He's 57% over the last week, and that's awesome, but it's not like it's that much above what he's doing for the season, where he's at 49, but it's awesome. Also, his free throws are out of control too. He's at 94% over the last 2 weeks, 84 over the last month. When over the season, he's been 68%. Now, he's never been a great free throw shooter. Yeah, 72, 74, 73 the last 3 seasons, but he's also not a 68% guy. So recently, the last month at 84%, that's sort of correcting for that start to the season. But at the moment, Parsons is giving you just fantastic numbers. And for guys who stuck with him through the real troublesome point at the start of the season, it's paying off at the moment pretty significantly. The waiver wire line of the night and the young gun of the night is the same player, and that is Jeremy Grant of the Philadelphia 76ers. Whenever there's an opportunity for him to get big minutes, either by an injury, and that's what happened here with Nerlens Noel. To a degree, he had a sore leg, and it limited his playing time. He also wasn't playing that well. So Grant got extra run and was great. 38 minutes for Grant, 13 and 8, 1 assist, 3 steals and 5 blocks. That is where he really excels. His ability to get defensive stats is awesome. We just need him to play in a bigger role. Per 36 minutes this season, he's at a steal a game and 2.3 blocks a game. 6 rebounds and 12.7 points, adding in a half a 3 as well. His percentages do need work. They're not great, 44 and 68. But he can be that real defensive terror. To me, unless we see that Noel's missing time, which it doesn't appear like he will, or Okafor's going to be out, then Grant's not going to have standard league value. Yes, on the season he's ranked 135th, which is, you know, you could say that's 12-team valuable, but it's not a must-own 12-team guy. The way I tend to look at it is if, you know, each team has 10 active spots in general and 3 bench guys. So that means in across a whole league, there's 120 active spots. So if you're outside the top 120, in general, you're not going to be a must-own. And even then, I go a bit further and I say if you're, the top 100 is sort of the area where you probably should be owned. He's sitting outside that range and, you know, he can be used, he can be streamed, he can be, hey, I need blocks, I need steals, I need some rebounds. Jeremy Grant might be an option, but in a night where he plays 22 or 23 minutes, it's not going to be the same output as when he plays 30 to 32, because that's when the big stuff happens for him. The dud of the night, this guy's gotten it a few times this season, Andrew Wiggins. He played 30 minutes and had 15 points, 4 rebounds and 1 assist, which on the surface doesn't seem terrible, but you know, that rebounding, it's not a good number. The points are just average. The assists are bad. But then no threes, no steals, no blocks, and hurting both your percentages, going 5 of 14 from the field and 5 of 8 from the free throw line. For as good as Andrew Wiggins is, he's not a fantasy star by any stretch just yet. He's outside the top 100 on the season, despite averaging 20 points. Everything else, though, that he provides is a negative. His Z scores across the board are negative in every category except for scoring. He doesn't hit enough threes, get enough rebounds, assists, steals, blocks. All these things are okay, and they might just need a slight increase. His threes go to 1 a game. His rebounds go to 4.5. His assists go to 2.5. His steals go to 1. His blocks go to 0.8. His field goals go to 46. His free throws go to 80. Like, these aren't massive, massive jumps. And then he jumps, you know, 30 spots in the rankings. But as of right now, he is a very much a low-end asset who provides scoring and just tiny bits of other things, but not enough to be a real impact player. And look, that might come at some point for him, but at the moment it's just not happening for him just this year, which I don't think it'll really happen for him definitely not this season. That's it. Let's look at the perfect DFS lineup. And looking at this one, just for the main slate of games, Damian Lillard scored 42 because it was the two early games, which again aren't counted in most tournaments. DeLon Wright with a real garbage time performance from the Toronto Raptors, 26.6. So when Kyle Lowry was out, he got some extra run and really hard to have included him into a lineup. Victor Oladipo, 41.7. He was already looking like a decent matchup, but not great. But when Evan Fournier was out, that helped him. Dwayne Wade at 45.4. Chandler Parsons put up 44.2. Carmelo Anthony, 38.4. Aaron Gordon with a massive game, going 39.9. And Jeremy Grant went for 37.1 in that big explosion that we already talked about. And Robin Lopez, 38.8. That would have all given you 354.1 points. All right, now is a perfect time for me to take a quick break to tell you about today's sponsor, and that is SeatGeek. Have you ever been frustrated trying to buy your tickets online? Hey, quick, before I get into that, it's not SeatGeek, as some people think. I know my pronunciation, my accent might be hard. Seat, S-E-A-T, seat, as in you are sitting down at a sporting event or concert. So, yes, it's on the screen there as well if you're watching on YouTube. SeatGeek. Most sites make it complicated. They all try to sneak in huge fees at checkout. That's why you need to try SeatGeek. They've made it easier than ever to buy and sell sports and concert tickets. SeatGeek's a great place to go and look for tickets online. We've got games coming up, big games in the NBA coming up, Thunder and Warriors again, Warriors and Spurs coming up. If you're living in those cities where those games are being played, go on SeatGeek. See if you can find tickets to those games. Because if you went to the last Warriors Thunder game, if you went to the last Warriors Thunder game, I'm sure you'd be more than impressed with what you saw. SeatGeek has taken all the work and hassle out of shopping for tickets. They pull all the tickets available on other sites into one place, so you save time and never miss a deal. You can even set alerts for upcoming events, and SeatGeek will let you know if ticket prices fall. Even better, every ticket on SeatGeek is ranked based on value, so you can immediately find underpriced seats. And before you buy, you can use SeatGeek's detailed maps to see the view from your seat. Best of all, SeatGeek is always honest and upfront about the price. Unlike StubHub, they show you the full ticket price from start to finish and never try to trick you with huge fees on the checkout page. My listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the free SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab and click add a promo code. Enter promo code REDROCK, one word. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the free SeatGeek app and enter the promo code REDROCK today. Okay, let's get into these games now and start talking about them in a bit more detail. I'm going to bring that up on the screen for you guys who are watching along on the YouTube video. And if you do have YouTube, go and subscribe to the YouTube channel, which you'll find links to in my Twitter handle and on the website as well, on Basketball Monster and on redrockbasketball.com. Just go and check out what's happening on the YouTube page, and maybe you're in a situation where you can watch it and you can see some of these graphics that go up as I talk about it. All right. The first game of the night was the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Washington Wizards. No LeBron James, who was out due to rest, so Kyrie Irving, he played 32 minutes. It was a blowout loss for the Cavs, so we saw some of these guys have some limited playing time. Kyrie went 28 points with 6 assists and 4 triples, and pretty decent shooting, 9 of 20, that's not terrible for him. And Kevin Love only played 24 minutes, had an issue with his leg at one stage, but the game was a bit of a blowout. We're not sure if that's going to be an issue that's going to move forward and be a problem, but the Cavs do have a back-to-back, so maybe Love happens to sit out this next game. That's something to watch. Love had 12 and 5 in his 24 minutes. Tim Mozgov with a big game, 25 minutes for him, 10 and 10 with 2 blocks. Not buying into it, leave him for deeper leagues. Iman Shumpert played 34 minutes, going 12 and 5 with 3 steals. And Matthew Dellavedova had 9 points with 4 assists in his 21 minutes. These guys, Shumpert will go back down to 23-24 when LeBron James plays. Richard Jefferson started, he played 33 minutes, had 10 and 5 with a 3. He's a decent DFS punt option when LeBron's out. He's a stream for 3 sort of guy, but that's really about it. Also, J.R. Smith was quite limited here. Foul trouble got him. 18 minutes for JR, 8 and 4 with a couple of steals. And Channing Frye played 24 minutes, didn't hit a shot, but did grab 6 rebounds. His fantasy value is pretty minimal, as is Tristan Thompson, who was reduced to just 21 minutes here, 2, 2, and 2. That's, I think, 3 out of the 4 games that Channing Frye has played that Thompson has had his minutes cut significantly. The last game he did play 28, but every other game has been low 20s. That's making him almost unownable, pretty much unownable in 12-team leagues. And it's making him more of a deeper 14, maybe even 16-team league sort of player. On the Wizards, Johnny Wall, close to a triple-double in only 29 minutes, 21-7-13 with a 3. Brad Beal off the bench in limited minutes as anticipated. 17-3, 2 triples and 2 steals in his 26 minutes. I'd imagine he gets the same run again today against the Sixers. And Otto Porter had been quite quiet. Hate saying those two words together. 27 minutes for Porter, but a big game here. 21-5-3, 4 triples and a block. Let's hope that that's enough to get him going. 6 of 9 shooting, though, is not realistic for him to continue to do, so I wouldn't be expecting him to be quiet at this level, but he had been a little bit quiet. Marcin Gortat, in only 25 minutes, had 13 and 9 with a block. That's really nice production in very limited minutes. Markieff Morris, Jared Dudley. Markieff continuing just to frustrate. He started the last 2 second halves, doesn't start the game. He played 21 minutes, 9 and 3 with 2 steals. It really depends on where you're sitting at the moment. If you're really battling and you can't afford to hold for another week or so, then you might have to move on from him. I'm still personally holding him and just waiting to see what happens, because he's still producing these ancillary numbers. He had 2 steals. He had 9 points, 3 rebounds and an assist. He's had some blocks in games. His percentages were good in this one. Hit his only free throw. Went 4 of 8 from the field. It's just, I don't know, it's just not quite clicking enough for him. To me, he's probably not a must-own, but he's not a must-drop either. Jared Dudley got 22 minutes, went 8-4-2 with 2 threes. He's a tough one to own for me in 12-team leagues. Yeah, you can definitely own him, but I just feel that it's only a matter of time. Garrett Temple started, and he just can't do a thing. No Gary Neal. Alan Anderson, another 15 minutes for him. He's got pretty much a set role. That might reduce a bit when Neal returns, but for deeper leagues, a 3-pointer, 5 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists and a steal. Alan Anderson for your 16, maybe 18-team leagues. He's in that set steady role at the moment. The Charlotte Hornets and the Atlanta Hawks. Jeremy Lin had a really nice night. 15 points in his 21 minutes, but this was a pretty bad game. It was a disappointing loss for the Hornets. Lin didn't do too much else. He's not a 12-team league target for me, nor is Courtney Lee, who just played the 22 minutes. He had 9, 3, and 2 with a 3-pointer, and Jeremy Lamb had 9 points in his 20 minutes also. Nick Batum just gone missing at the moment. 2 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, and 1 block. This happens to him from time to time. It is one of the frustrations with Nick Batum, and it's happened a couple of times this year, but in general, his season has been awesome. His last couple of weeks haven't been great. If your league trade deadline hasn't passed, I'm trying to buy really low on him because he could come out and put up big, big numbers. He is struggling with his shot at the moment. In fact, over the last 3 months, he's shot less than 40%. And that does impact things. His free throws are great. His other numbers are great. But his shot needs to really start falling for him to start regaining that top 50 value. I'm trying to buy pretty low on Nick Batum if I can. Another odd big game from Marvin Williams, 32 minutes, 16 points on 6 of 18 shooting. He took the most shots on this team by a long stretch, hit 4 triples and had 9 rebounds, and the odd Marvin Williams season continued. Al Jefferson was not good, 23 minutes, 6 points on 3 of 11 shooting. He had 7 boards and 2 assists. To me, he's not a 12-team league guy. Cody Zeller played 23 minutes as well, 6 and 7 for him with a steal, and he wasn't great either. None of these guys should probably be owned in 12-team leagues. Frank Kaminsky, he played 18 minutes but didn't do a huge amount. On the Hawks, Kent Bazemore with his second solid shooting performance in a row, 6 of 8 for 14 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 threes. This is not realistic to him to shoot 75%. It will drop back down. He can be owned, definitely, in 12-team leagues. But he's probably the worst player on your bench, so don't be married to him. Jeff Teague played 33 and went 10-4-9 with 2 triples, and that limited Dennis Schroeder to 15 minutes, 8-2-3. This is the problem with Schroeder. I've mentioned it plenty of times. Yes, he was top 50 for a couple of weeks, but there's going to be games like this, and it's going to hurt you significantly. So to me, he's far from a must-own player. Paul Millsap, 13-5-2. He had a triple, he had a block. Not his best game, but not terrible. And Al Horford had 13-16-6, so a pretty decent game there. Probably quietly, Tim Hardaway is carving out a role. He had a triple one, he had 11 points, he grabbed a couple of rebounds. He's not an awesome fantasy asset by any stretch, but in the last couple of weeks, he's snuck himself inside the top 200. So in your 18-team leagues, now 20-team leagues, you've got to make sure that he's owned. The minutes have gone up, the production's up. He's actually a top 100 guy over the last week. That's probably not going to continue because he's shooting 57%, and that's not who he is. But the minutes are getting more consistent for him. Kyle Korver was really limited in this one because he's just gone back into another slump. And Hardaway's earned a bit of trust here, and he has to be looked at in your deeper formats. The Portland Trailblazers and the Indiana Pacers, the next game up. Big win for the Blazers on the road. Dame Lillard, 33-5-2 with 5 triples. And CJ McCollum, 19-3-3 with a couple of triples. Really poor shooting from McCollum, though. 7 from 20, but you should have come to expect that from him. On most nights, there's a big chance that he goes for some poor shooting, but racks up the counting stats. Mason Plumlee struggled, only the 1 point, but 8 boards, 3 assists and 1 block, sort of salvaged his night somewhat. And Myers Leonard was the one that got hot. He played 21 minutes and had 17 points. He hit 4 triples, 2 rebounds, and nothing else. I'm still not looking at adding him in 12-team leagues based on this. That's 2 big games in a row from Ed Davis defensively. Another 2 steals and 3 blocks here. 9 rebounds with 4 points. He's a 12-team league. Oh, curiosity. Do I add him? Do I get these rebounds and this really good percentage? Maybe, but I'm not sure that these defensive numbers keep up in this sort of volume. Much like I'm 100% confident that Gerald Henderson is not going to go 8 of 9 again. He had 19 points with 4 rebounds and 3 assists. All these guys, Henderson, Davis, guys like Alan Crabb, are all more 14-team league guys for me. Who else are we talking about on this team? That's probably it. Oh, Mo Harkless, a DNP CD. After that real strong stretch, he has gone and minutes are just lost every single day. 12 teams, 14 teams, he's gone out of those leagues. On the Pacers, Monte Ellis, 18 points with 5 rebounds, 5 assists, and 3 steals, and a block. And he shot 6 of 17. And you think that's not good. But he wasn't the worst shooter out of the starters. He wasn't the second worst shooter out of the starters. And that really impacts the team when you've got 3 guys in the starting 5 who just shoot horribly, or did shoot horribly. Yamahimi only played 19 minutes. He battled foul trouble, so that's the limit there in the minutes. And then Jordan Hill got on it and got pretty hot, going 15-5 with 2 blocks for Hill. Mahinmi had 7-3-2, so don't let this performance dissuade you from owning him. Everything I've said in the past few podcasts still stands true. The 2 players who did struggle with their shot, Miles Turner was 4 of 12 for 33%, 8-8 with a steal and a block in 28 minutes, and Paul George, a putrid 4 of 15 for 11-4-2 with 2 steals. So just terrible nights from both of those guys, shooting-wise, anyway. George Hill, 14-6-5. That's a solid performance. And not much else, I don't think, on the Pacers. Rod Stuckey in the 19 minutes off the bench with CJ Miles sitting out. The Philadelphia 76ers, the Orlando Magic. Big win for the Magic. Huge high-scoring game. Jahlil Okafor had 26 points, not a lot else, and be really good field goal percentage as well, 12 of 18. Or Rishaun Holmes had 12 and 4 in his 16 minutes. He's a real per-minute monster. He hit all four of his shots, all four of his free throws. Really a deep league sort of player, though. Ish Smith, the minutes back to 36, so that's awesome. 17, 5, and 7, and went 6 of 12 from the field and 4 of 5 from the line. A lot of those things aren't repeatable, both those percentages and maybe the minutes as well. He got extra run because Isaiah Cannon had to play more on the wing with Hollis Thompson out with an illness. So Cannon played 34 minutes and went 18, 3, and 2 with 3 triples, but he can be left alone in most spots. And Bob Cove had 30 minutes and went 14 and 5. I still like him for 12 team leagues. Nerlens Noel, who I touched on earlier when I talked about Jeremy Grant, he only played 17 minutes, 10 and 3 with a block, and let's hope he gets back to his 30 minutes pretty soon. On the Magic, Aaron Gordon, he is getting some big, big run at the moment. 36 minutes with Evan Fournier out, 22 and 7, 2 threes, 3 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks. Has to be owned everywhere, and that has been the case for about 2 months now. So if he's still on your waiver wire, I don't know what's happening. Victor Oladipo, 28 points, 4 steals and 2 triples. He's having a pretty nice run of it at the time being. And Nick Vucevic, 28 and 6 in his 28 minutes. We also saw a big game from Alfred Payton. 11, 4, and 10, a steal and a block, and the threat of Brandon Jennings and CJ Watson looks to have dissipated somewhat. Now, Payton would have got extra run in this one because Fournier was out, and they could play CJ Watson at the 2 more and run smaller lineups and guys shifting across, Oladipo moving to the 3 for a little bit as well. Payton, the same problems always are here for him. The field goal percentage, the free throw percentage. He's going to give you nice assists, good rebounds, decent steals if he gets minutes. And this is a pretty nice performance from him. Let's hope that let's hope that Scott Skiles keeps him at that sort of rotation or in that sort of minute level. But you can never trust what Skiles is going to do. With Payton, you have to be able to absorb the problems, much like in Ish Smith. But if you can, I think he should still be owned in 12 teamers. Brandon Jennings, there's no point. 3 and 5 in 16 minutes. Did have a couple of blocks, but that's not replicable for him. And Ersan Ilyasova only played 12 minutes. He had 10 points, but these are deeper league targets only. Jason Smith played more than Ersan Ilyasova. CJ Watson played more than Brandon Jennings. You know, the Skiles fascination with his old players ended pretty quickly, I guess, when he saw what they could do. The Toronto Raptors and the Detroit Pistons. The Raptors, without Kyle Lowry, they got the loss here in Detroit. So we saw with Lowry out, Corey Joseph started. He battled foul trouble, played 20 minutes, had 10 points with 2 assists. So it was actually looking all right in that sort of playing time. But when you're limited by those sort of fouls, that's obviously a concern. And that moved Delon Wright into the more of action. 31 minutes for Wright, 13, 3, and 6, 2 triples and a steal. I really do like Delon Wright as a long-term dynasty play. It might take a few years for him to actually get some action behind Joseph and behind Lowry, but I do think that he can play. Terrence Ross had a big night, 35 minutes with 27 points and 4 triples. He is very streaky, and I don't think he's a 12-team league guy. While Jonas Valanciunas also battled foul trouble, went 11 and 5 in his 21 minutes. DeMar DeRozan did his best, 20 points, 4 rebounds, 7 assists, while Patrick Patterson only played the 26 minutes and had 3 points. He literally can't do anything at this stage in his career. He is just struggling big time. Luis Scola and James Johnson, they're 2 starters who just provide pretty much 0 to this team. On the Pistons, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope in 36 minutes had 16 points, 5 assists, and a steal on 7 of 10 shooting. So obviously a bit of an abnormal shooting percentage from him, but that's fine. Reggie Jackson, 19 with 8 assists. And Toby Harris only played the 25 minutes, but had 14 and 7 with 2 triples. So still big performances from most of these guys. Marcus Morris went 14, 4, and 4 in 32. Andre Drummond had 15 and 18 in 30. And this game was handled relatively comfortably by the Pistons, so they didn't have to run big minutes for their main key contributors. We saw Reggie Bullock get 26 minutes. We saw Justin Harper play 16 minutes. And Darren Hilliard got 9. Joel Anthony got 4 minutes. Just some extra run from some of their other players who don't normally get in the game. Stanley Johnson is looking like he's going to be ready to return for their next game. So that's going to cut some of those minutes away from Hilliard and away from Reggie Bullock. I don't think it impacts Toby Harris or Marcus Morris. Or maybe Morris loses a couple minutes there as well. Maybe 2-3 minutes he loses. But it's more going to be those backups that I cop it with Stanley Johnson returning. And even though he is returning, there's no way that I'm looking at adding him in a 12-team league with the way that the Pistons are currently constructed. The next game was a blowout as well. The Minnesota Timberwolves and the Dallas Mavericks. This was a huge, huge win for the Mavericks. Shabazz Muhammad got a big run. 34 minutes, 24 points, 2 triples, 5 rebounds, and a block. He even if he was to get those sort of minutes regularly, he's not a must-own player. Yes, he can score and get a decent field goal percentage, but his overall game is not awesome for fantasy. He would fit certain teams, but not every team. And that just reminded me of something that I wanted to mention. I know plenty of you guys would read the status updates that go on Roto World, and I want to make sure that people understand when they read those. Now, I'm not knocking any of the guys at Roto World; they do great jobs. But a lot of the times when they're writing analysis for it, they're basing it on Roto leagues or head-to-head leagues with no punting. So they'll say this guy is not worth an ad. This guy is borderline, you know, ownable. This guy is 14 round value. But you always need to take your own, because they can't talk for every team and every team build. I try to do it as much as I can and discussing it. This is great for this sort of situation. But they're generally talking in an overall 9-category sense. This is 9-cat overall value. And it's not taking into consideration if you're punting free throws, if you're punting field goals, if you're looking for, you know, steals or you're punting blocks or whatever you're doing. And that's it's important that you understand the rationale behind what they're writing when you go to look at their advice and their analysis and take it on board for your team. They might say this guy is not worth owning, but he fits exactly what you do and exactly what you need on your team. And that's, you know, don't be completely swayed. They do a great job with their information. It's fantastic. Their analysis is good, but it's very narrow focused. And you need to be able to look at, hey, how does my league differ? How does my team differ from all of this and get the adjustments that you need? Okay, got that out of my brain. Karl Anthony Towns only played 26 minutes, had 12 and 11 with 3 assists, but a blowout, he was limited. Ricky Rubio was limited to 25 and he went 14, 2 and 5. And Gorgui Dieng played just 25 minutes with 9 and 9 with a couple of blocks. Can't fault Sam Mitchell for any of that in a blowout like this. What I love is that he got some of the young kids more playing time, like Shabazz Muhammad and like Tyus Jones, who played 23 minutes and went 7, 3, and 6 with 2 steals and 2 threes. I've been on record saying a lot that I like Tyus Jones. I think he's going to be able to put up really good numbers in the NBA at some point. He's currently stuck behind Ricky Rubio. We'll see what the Timberwolves do with Rubio at some point in the future. They should not trade Rubio. Rubio is exceptionally underrated by so many people. You'll see lots of people that they've got to trade Rubio to get to the next level. I cannot get behind that at all. But Jones is a guy that has potential, and we saw a bit of it on display here. He's definitely in the rotation. Obviously, Andre Miller's been waived. He is the backup point guard now. Zach LaVine's playing at the two. It's the perfect situation. It's what they should have done from the start of the season, and now it's starting to come to fruition. So Tyus Jones in your deeper leagues and your dynasties, keep an eye on him. Zach LaVine, despite the blowout, he played 41 minutes. He went 10-9 with 4 assists and 2 steals, and we saw no Kevin Martin and no Tayshaun Prince at all in the rotation. So that's, again, that's a positive for Sam Mitchell. You don't need to play Prince. You don't need to play Martin. Give Rujesh a look. Give Adrian Payne a look. Get Jones in there. Play Muhammad and run these guys, and that's fine. It was a blowout, but this is what I've been saying all along. Play your kids. You're still going to lose, but you're actually going to develop them. David Lee for the Mavericks. 22 minutes, 13-9, 2 steals and a block. The minutes aren't you know, awesome for him, obviously. 22 minutes here, 25 minutes the other day. But he's producing at an exceptionally high rate. Now, he's shooting 64% from the field. We know that's not going to continue. He's getting 1.3 steals in 20 minutes a game. In his last 2 years in Golden State when he started, he averaged 0.8 and 0.7. That is not going to stick at that sort of level. His shot blocking at the moment is at 0.3 a game. His last year starting for Golden State, he was at 0.4 a game. In the 13 extra minutes. It's not going to stick. The rebounding at 9 per game in 20 minutes, it's not going to stick. He's well above so many, like the rebounding numbers, his steal rate, his block rate, his field goal percentage is well above what he's expected to do. Sure, go and add him if you need the points and rebounds, but the field goal percentage, the stealing, the blocks, even the rebounding is not going to stick at this sort of level. If he's only going to get 20 minutes, 22 minutes, 23 minutes, he's not going to be able to produce like this. You can add him, but he's probably going to be the worst player on your bench, and I'm not sure how much value he's going to have. But sure, he's been impressive so far. Ray Felton, 27 minutes, and by impressive, I mean he's put up stats, not necessarily his on-court play. Ray Felton, 27 minutes, 7, 3, and 3, so the minutes were still there, just not that productive. Darren Williams went 10, 4, and 9, and JJ Barea also played 24 minutes and went 12, 2, and 7. Zaza Pachulia just got the 20 minutes here, 6-7 with a steal and a block. That's two games in a row where he's been limited. Was this just to do with the blowout? There's been some whispers that he's going to be limited a bit down the stretch for the playoffs, so just keep an eye on Zaza. Look, 7 rebounds, a steal, a block, 3 assists is still really valuable. The blocks are not something that come from him really at all, but steals, assists, rebounds is something that he can provide. So keep an eye on Zaza and just wait. Look to see the way it's trending for now. I'm not doing anything. I'm not dropping or anything along those lines. The Miami Heat and the New York Knicks, Hassan Whiteside, 26 minutes off the bench, 16-11, 3 steals and 2 blocks. I don't care that he comes off the bench. He only played 26 minutes here, yes, but whatever. He's still able to produce. I've got no issue with that sort of move. Now, Joe Johnson, it was his first game for the Heat. He played 30 minutes. It's probably a little bit more than I anticipated, but what I do like is he didn't play more than Justice Winslow. He did start, and I don't love that lineup combination, but 30 minutes is fine for him. 12-3-3 and 5 of 10 shooting. Fine. Luol Deng played 30 minutes, went 15-7 with 2 assists and 1 steal. Dwayne Wade had 26-7-6 with 2 steals, so some big performances from these Heat guys. Goran Dragic, 13-3-6 with a steal and a block. Another big performance. Justice Winslow didn't score, but grabbed 13 rebounds and had 4 assists. And if you own him in fantasy, let's be serious, you're not owning him for his scoring. It's for his rebounding, it's for his usual decent field goal percentage, it's for his ability to get steals and his improving block rate. For now, if you own Johnson, you're holding him. If you owned Winslow, you're holding him. And you're still obviously holding Deng. Now, the guy that I thought would lose the most minutes, Josh Richardson, played 30. I love this. I know that the Heat love him. I know they love him. And he's looking decent. He's more of a deeper league sort of player at the moment, but his dynasty value is really significant to me. 8-3-2 for Richardson. 2 steals on 3-of-6 shooting. That's 4 steals in his last 2 games. Really, again, just a deeper league guy, but interesting they kept him in the rotation while Gerald Green was completely out and Josh McRoberts was completely out as well. The Heat were able to go smaller. They could play Deng at the 4. Well, they're playing Deng at the 4. McRoberts not there. Joe Johnson can play a little bit of 4 in a pinch. Winslow can play the 4 also. Interesting to see this rotation. Could this be their playoff rotation? They only used 8 guys. Obviously, if Bosch isn't there, it looks nice for us from a fantasy point of view. Amari Stoudemire is the other guy, 22 minutes, 8-7 with a block. And he's actually holding up really well given his minutes. He's not going to be able to play a huge amount, but he's holding up well and he's producing at a decent rate for some deeper formats. On the Knicks, Robin Lopez, 14-14 with 3 blocks in 36 minutes. The change of coaching has actually helped him from his fantasy point of view. Aaron Aflalo was out due to a thigh issue. Langston Galloway started in his place, 7-5-4 with 4 steals. To me, Galloway is not a 12-team league guy unless Aflalo's out for a longer period of time. This game was a blowout, and Mallow still played 41 minutes. I cannot get behind that at all when a guy who's got knee issues, you can't just play him 41 minutes. It makes no sense. 25-7-4 for Mallow, and he had foul trouble, and then you only play
percentages.
22 minutes. 9-8 for Kristaps, a 3, 4 blocks in 22 minutes. So still productive fantasy-wise. You know, 4 of 13 shootings, not good. He did have early foul trouble, but just let the kid play through it. Jose Calderon played 40 minutes. Why would you play Jose Calderon 40 minutes, especially when you're shooting 3 of 13? Jerry and Grant played only 11. You play the kid 20 minutes. 7 points for Calderon, 3 assists. Grant had 2, 1, and 1. Yeah, look, he's not great, but what does it matter at this point, Rambis? Just give him some minutes. An interesting rotation from the Knicks as well. No Kylo Quinn, no Kevin Seraphin to be seen, which, again, it doesn't make a huge amount of sense to me. Lance Thomas played 33 minutes and went 12-3 with a couple of triples. All right, we are done for this portion of the podcast. I'm going to take a quick break from another word from our sponsors, and then we're going to have a song for me to have a bit of a drink, and then we're going to be back to talk DFS for Monday. I saw you.
Clear.
games on Monday, previewing them from a DFS point of view. But if you don't play DFS, there's still some seasonal stuff that gets thrown in amongst here as we talk about things that go down in these, or hopefully things that go down in these games. The first one of those is the Philadelphia 76ers and the Washington Wizards. There's no spread release for this game yet. Hollis Thompson and Gary Neal are both considered questionable. I guess they're also checking to see what happens with Nerlens Noel and if the Wizards decide to rest Brad Beal or John Wall. Any of those things are in play. Obviously, check out and keep up. Follow at Bask Monster for all the up-to-date news that happens throughout the day. With the point guards, I don't really love much of it here. Ish Smith is at 6,400. He hasn't really, look, even today with the decent game, didn't approach 30 points. So not really a guy that's on the radar for me. Johnny Wall at 9,800. Yeah, I can maybe like him, but he's not the best point guard on the board. He's at less than 10,000 and he dropped 46 today, but there is an opportunity here for him against the Sixers to have, you know, a few minutes less and maybe he doesn't put up the same sort of numbers. So I'm a little bit off him. Now, Isaiah Cannon at 3,500 was great today. And if Noel is out, if Thompson is out again, then Cannon maybe gets some more run and then you throw him into a tournament. But that's really about it at this position. With the shooting guards, Brad Beal, again, decent today, 25 points, but to 5,500, it's not quite there. And a game where he's probably going to get 30 minutes again, less than 30 minutes, sorry, at 5,500. I do like the fact that his salary is coming down, but it's not enough for this sort of back-to-back situation. Garrett Temple, Gary Neal on the Wizards, Allen Anderson, none of them have any appeal, and Nick Stauskas, no thanks either. The small forward position, Otto Porter at 5,000, eclipsed that easily today. The ease ranking for him here is really nice, but I don't trust it for cash at all. I would throw him into a tournament and hope that something came up again, but yeah, not really feeling it. 5,000 for Bob Cove as well is not a great... Yeah, he's been all right. He's looked a bit better, but the fantasy points haven't been coming in every game, tournaments only. Power forward, Nerlens Noel, we need to hear exactly if he's going to be healthy or not because the production has been well down, so I'm probably steering clear of him. Same with Markieff Morris at 5,200. Neither of those guys are appealing. If we hear that Noel isn't quite right, Jeremy Grant at 4,600 is a great option. He dropped 37 today. He's not going to do that all the time, but he can produce if Noel happens to be out. Jared Dudley at 48, not getting enough minutes or production for me at that sort of salary. Overall, this game is not a great DFS game, if you haven't noticed already. The center position is a little bit more interesting. 6,300 for Jahlil Okafor, who dropped 31 today. You'd need to feel confident in him getting 30 points, but Marcin Gortat's been pretty good at restricting opposition centers, so I'm not sure I love that. 6,900 for Gortat, it's just too high for his level of production, and the fact that his minutes have been limited recently. He's only averaging 26 minutes over his last three games, and that's not ideal. The next game, the Indiana Pacers and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Injury-wise, we need to check Kevin Love dealing with that leg issue that limited him somewhat. LeBron should be back after missing the last game. And on the Pacers side of things, CJ Miles is doubtful, so it's unlikely he plays. 7,000 for Kyrie. I like it. It's a really good matchup. The Pacers have been allowing point guards to play fairly well. He dropped another 34 today, Kyrie. I think that 34 to 35 should be the area where you're expecting for Irving. Now, if James happens to play, or if James plays, which he will, and if Love plays, then it puts a little bit of a squish on him. But if Love happens to be out, then at 7,000, he becomes a really hot option, I think. George Hill at 5,800. It's just, I don't know. Yes, Kyrie can allow opposition to have pretty decent games, so I like him from that perspective, but his overall production hasn't been good. But if you're looking at just pure matchup-based issues, then George Hill is in for a pretty nice spot here. The shooting guards. Monte Ellis is at 6,100. Yes, he exceeded that today easily, 37.5. He's averaging less than 30 across his last five, though. Not sure I'm really that keen against the Cavs. Iman Shumpert, J.R. Smith, and they can all be left alone. And you can put JR into a tournament. Shumpert got extra run today in an odd situation with Smith limited by fouls and with James out, so I'm not really counting on him to have that 28-point game again. Rod Stuckey in limited minutes, I'm not interested in either. Now, LeBron is back, most likely. He's at 9,800. Fine with using him. He's going up against Paul George. Now, George is at 9,000 as well. George, I don't mind using him, but a back-to-back with his poor form in the last game, matching up against LeBron, I don't think it's the greatest spot for George. I would much rather spend the $800 extra and take LeBron and hope that you can get the 45 out of him or even 50 points after the day of rest. The other backups, Richard Jefferson, if LeBron doesn't play, which seems unlikely, $3,500, he'd be worth a look, and that's probably about it. With the power forwards, Kevin Love at $7,300. Don't like the matchup and don't like the fact that he's dealing with a sore leg, so I'll leave him out of it. $5,600 for Miles Turner has been a bit disappointing lately, only averaging 25 across his last five. A really disappointing game today, and the Cavs are pretty good at restricting power forward, so not sure that he is the best option on the board, but he could still be a tournament guy. Tristan Thompson, no, and Lavoy Allen is just a punt in tournament and see what happens. At center, Yan Mahimi at $5,000, a bit quiet again today. Not a good matchup, so I'll probably steer clear there. Same with Tim Mozgov. Even though his minimum salary and put up 21 today, I just don't buy that happening all that often. And same with Jordan Hill, who took advantage of circumstances today to put up a big line. As you can see from the first two games, DFS value is not plentiful. There is a few other games later on that are a bit more enticing. This one's not one of them. Utah and Boston, not a great spot here. Defense-wise, actually there's a few guys we look at, but the defense-wise is an issue. Now, Shelvin Mack at $3,500. You'll see on Basketball Monster I've got him ticked as a recommended pick, and that is strictly as a tournament punt option. No chance I'm risking him in a cash game. He's averaging 14 points in the last three. He's at $3,500. But he could go for 25. He could go for 26. The Boston matchup is yuck, and that's another reason why I don't want to touch him in cash. But in a tournament, fine. Use him. Minimum salary, starting point guard, maybe it clicks. Probably doesn't, but there's a chance that it clicks. Isaiah Thomas at $7,900. That's too expensive when you're going up against the Jazz and the pace is going to be slowed down. I don't mind Marcus Smart, though, at $5,200. He is averaging 25 across his last three. He dropped 28 in the last game. He's probably more of a tournament than a punt than a cash option. And I'm not all that sold in, but I don't hate him. I do hate Trey Burke and Hal Neto, though. Shooting guards. Avery Bradley's dealing with an ankle problem. He should be right to go, but that doesn't mean we won't need to use him. He's at $5,400, and against the Jazz, it's not a great option. $59 for Rod Hood. The salary has come down. The production has also come down. I think that he's an okay guy to look at here, but you want him to get 30 points. I'm just not sure he's going to get there, so I'll probably steer clear of him as well. At small forward, Gordy Hayward's been great. He's at $7,400. I'm okay with using Gordy. Averaging 34 across his last five, 35 to 36 feels like a pretty decent spot for him. Jay Crowder, production's been awesome, $6,300, averaging 35 across his last three, but the Utah Jazz are a real trouble for small forwards, so that's not ideal. $5,800 for Evan Turner, who's also been great, averaging 29 across his last three. Bit interested in him, but again, the Jazz, and defensive-wise, it's just not going to work out all that well. So in essence, leave him alone. Power forwards, I like Derek Favors. He's at $7,600. The Boston front court allows big men to put up big numbers. He's averaging 37.5 across his last three, 39 across his last five. You feel that 35 is almost the bare minimum for Derek Favors. On the other side of things, Jared Sullinger at $6,200. He's been easily exceeding that sort of value, averaging 32 across his last five, dropped 41 in the last one. He has the opposite problem, though. He faces the Jazz front court, which is really good at restricting our fantasy points, so that makes him a little bit more of a risky option. Jonas Jerebko is at minimum salary. His minutes have been decent. He's averaging over 20 minutes in the last five games. Production's not there, but in a tournament, maybe something gets hot for him. Probably not. Amir Johnson, minutes aren't there. He's not worth it, nor is Trevor Booker. At center, Rudy Gobert has the same situation as Derek Favors against a very bountiful Celtics front court. He's at $6,900, bounced back in the last game with 45, had two stinkers prior to that, but this is a great spot for him. 35 points, he's at 5x, done. Tyler Zeller, probably not. Houston-Milwaukee, now we're talking fantasy value. The Rockets are favored by two. The total is 212.5 points. Let's look at the point guards. Now, we're probably going to see Jared Bayless back, according to Jason Kidd, so that's going to complicate things with OJ Mayo and Michael Carter-Williams. John Henson, most likely not, and for the Rockets, Clint Capella is currently questionable. Now, you can check out all the scenarios on Basketball Monster with our What If drop-down menus and see, like, what if in Memphis, I've got Brandon, not Memphis, who are we looking at? Milwaukee. Now, John Henson out, Jared Bayless out. That's what we're anticipating. That's an option you can do. With Clint Capella, you can look what the minute distribution looks like if Clint Capella is out with Houston. Let's go back to point guards. Michael Carter-Williams at $5,700. If Bayless plays and going up against Patrick Beverley, there's no chance I want to use him. I'd be a little bit more interested if Bayless is out, but probably not. Patrick Beverley, only 24 minutes in the last couple of games. Not really sure why it's so limited, but Carter-Williams is a good defender. Don't want to use him here. Bayless, what about Ty Lawson? Should we use him? Averaging 4 points in the last three games? Nope. shooting guards. Jim Harden, 10,700. This is a real good chance for him to go for 50, I think. 10,700, he needs to go for 50, but he is averaging 52 across his last five. His lowest score has been 32, which was the last game, and that was against the Spurs, so you can almost, you know, forget about that one. Now, OJ Mayo, I've liked him as a punt option, but if Bayless plays at 3,600, I'm not liking him anymore. And 7,700 for Chris Middleton. The salary is a little bit high, but a nice Rockets bump. It could be on the cards. He dropped 40 in the last game, a 36 average across his last five. He's in consideration. At small forward, Giannis Antetokounmpo at 8,000. Rockets bump is in play. He wasn't that great in the last game, but we're talking about a guy who's averaging 43 points over the last five games. He has to be looked at and he has to be considered. Corey Brewer at 3,800. I don't mind using him. This is a positive matchup in terms of matchups. 23 points in his last game, but hasn't really been able to produce much there. Cash game, no. Tournament, maybe. Trevor Reeser at 6,100. He's been consistent, but it's not consistently high enough at that salary, so I think I'll pass on him. The power forwards. Jabari Parker at 5,600, love that salary. Massive Rockets bump here. This is 30-plus written all over for Jabari, one of the better power forward options on the board. Now, I don't care if Clint Capella plays or doesn't play. I'm not using Josh Smith, Capella, Donatas Motiejunas, Montrezl Harrell, or Terrence Jones. All of those guys can sit on the bench, and I don't care. At center, Henson's likely out. Miles Plumlee. Now, this might seem like an odd pick, but he's averaging 18 points across the last five. His salary is 3,600. If he gives you 18 points, it's 5x value. He dropped 21 in the last game. He played 21 minutes. Rockets bump in here. I think in a cash game, you should have a little bit of confidence in using him. In a tournament, he can maybe he gets four blocks. His tournament upside is not that high, but I don't mind him if you're really looking to save money. You might not need to at the center position, but he's in play. Dwight is at 8,000. Great matchup for him here. He's been pretty good, averaging 39 across his last three, 38 across his last five. He's not without valid reasons to be used. And Greg Monroe at 7,700, it's too risky for me, him coming off the bench. He's only averaging 31 points across his last five, and that's nowhere near enough at that sort of salary. Memphis at Denver. The big news, obviously, for Denver is Danilo Gallinari is out for the next 3 to 4 weeks with that ankle sprain. You might need to drop him in your seasonal leagues if you own him and if you're fighting for a playoff spot and you have no IR. 3 to 4 weeks is pretty much it. But look at your schedule. If someone drops him, if you're sitting pretty in first and you've got a first week bye and your playoffs don't start for 2 more weeks and then you've got to bye the first week, that's 3 weeks. And you might be able to add Gallinari and bring him back in that finals week. He might not come back, but I think it'd be worth the gamble to try that. Anyway, we're talking some more DFS here. The Grizzlies are favored by 2.5 points, and the total is 207. If you look on the what-if scenarios on Basketball Monster for Memphis, there's a couple of questionable guys. So we've got a few things here. We've got a situation. What if Tony Allen plays and Brandon Wright doesn't? What if Tony Allen's out and Brandon Wright plays? What if Brandon Wright and Tony Allen both don't play? So that's what we've got with these scenarios. As you probably can tell, Tony Allen is questionable and Brandon Wright is questionable. I would put Allen more on the doubtful side of questionable. He just doesn't seem like he's going to be ready to go anytime soon. And you know what? I'd probably put Wright on that same side. We haven't heard any news come out about Brandon Wright recently, which is pretty much par for the course with him. That is, don't release any news on his knee for whatever reason that is. And I'd be shocked if they played. On the Nuggets side of things, Jameer Nelson is currently doubtful with his wrist issue. He's out of the rotation anyway. Emmanuel Mudiay is got a calf issue, but he is probable, so obviously he's probable to play. Mike Conley at 7,000. I like using him here. I think it's 7,000. He's averaging 33 across his last five. He's definitely in consideration. Emmanuel Mudiay, 5,200. He lost minutes in the last game with DJ Augustine playing well and with him suffering that calf issue. I'm not going to be using him. Augustine at 3,700, sure, one of the better punt options on the board. I don't care that he's playing against Memphis. 28 in the last game. Even if you get your 25 at 3,700, he is definitely a decent option. 4,500 for Mario Chalmers, yeah, not so keen. At shooting guard, Will Barton. Look, some people are going to have to pick up the slack for Danilo Gallinari. On a seasonal point of view, Barton should already be owned. Gaz Harris should already be owned. Go and pick up Gary Harris. Darrell Arthur's the other guy who's maybe a back-end 12-team league guy, maybe a 14-team league guy. But for DFS, Will Barton at 6,000, extra usage, extra shots. Love it. Gary Harris at 4,800, extra usage, extra minutes, extra shots. Both these guys should get all the run, all the shots that they can handle. I think they're both really good plays here. Lance Stephenson, if Tony Allen doesn't play at 3,800, you could do a lot worse. He's averaging 21 points across his last five, which is 5x value. fine. Stevenson is a great punt option, I think. And Tony Allen, even if he plays, I'm not all that interested. At small forward, Matty Barnes at 5,000. Yep, he can have some poor games. Denver is not the most robust defense. I think the Barnes is a really good option here. 27, 30, he's got 40-point upside. A great tournament option. A little bit riskier in cash, but yeah, fine to use. There's a lot of other crap at this position. Jakar Sampson, Mike Miller, PJ Harrison, Vince Carter. Sampson's the interesting one. He might get some extra run with Gallinari out. He's a minimum salary guy. Maybe you look at him, but his track record suggests that he's no good. So, you know, there's some other guys that I'd rather prefer, like Darrell Arthur, who's at 3,700. He dropped 27 points in the last game, playing 30 minutes with Gallinari limited. When he gets minutes, he produces. So if we hear that they're going to start him or play him big minutes, and Mike Malone has already mentioned that he is going to be in the mix to replace Gallinari, he is at 3,700. He's worth a look. He's definitely worth a look. Ken Faried, not a guy that I love, but he's had two back-to-back 20 and 10 games. He's had three 20 and 10 games in his last seven outings. He should get some extra run as they push Arthur maybe to play a little bit more three. Averaging 34 across his last three at 6,000, I think he's a great tournament option. He's not an awesome cash option, but he has been, I think, at a 6x ratio in three of his last six games. So that's interesting. 6,500 for Zach Randolph. If Brandon Ryder's out, his minutes should get a bump, two or three extra minutes there. And at 6,500, can he get to 33 points against the Nuggets? That's the only thing that makes me go, yeah, maybe. Jermichael Green, he's only a tournament option at this point. With the centers, Brandon Wright, 3,700, doubt that he plays. Nikola Jokic, 5,500, he is really just a tournament option at this point because things can go pear-shaped pretty quickly for him. Still love him in standard leagues, but for tournaments, he's fine to go. Cash games, no. Jusuf Nurkic hasn't played the last three games. Apparently, he put in a full practice, so we might see some of him, but that's not going to be enough for me to be tempted, nor with Joffrey Lavernier. The next game, the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Sacramento Kings. There is no spread for this one because there's a couple of guys on the Kings who are questionable. Rudy Gay, Rajon Rondo, the two main ones. But interestingly, Seth Curry is also questionable. And that only plays into it because if Rajon Rondo happens to be out and then Seth Curry happens to be out, their point guard stocks are going to take a hit. Looking at the point guards first, Russell Westbrook at 11,000. He takes on the Kings. He takes on, if Rajon Rondo plays, his poorest defense. 50 points should be the minimum for Westbrook here. Love it. Darren Collison, you got great upside if Rondo's out, but even if Rondo plays, 5,200 for Collison, who's averaging 27.5 across his last five games, and only one of those has been without Rondo. I think he should be in most lineups, cash and tournament. Rondo, on the other hand, at 9,000. Yes, the Westbrook defense is a bit of a trouble. Westbrook defense is no trouble. People can torch Westbrook pretty decently for fantasy points. At 9,000, he's got to get you 45 points. He's averaging 45 across the last five. The only thing that worries me is, does the toe limit him somewhat? He's been dealing with this for a couple of weeks, so I'm not all that concerned. I think that he is a fine guy to look at if we know that he's going to play. The problem is the Kings leave a lot of these things till quite late, and with it being a late game, you might want to steer clear there. At shooting guard, there is nobody that I love here. Dion Waiters, Andre Robertson, you have great salaries, terrible production. Now, if we have Rondo and Seth Curry out, then Marco Bellinelli, Ben McLemore are probably going to have to see extra run, but they've just been putrid lately. You'd look at them and maybe put them in a tournament, but that's really about it. Curry's an interesting one. He had 24 points today, playing 26 minutes. So if Rondo is out, you could look at Seth Curry at 3,600 and maybe get 20 points out of him, and that'd be a win. But he's also questionable with a foot problem. So there's a lot of interesting things happening in Sacramento. 10,600 for Kevin Durant. Love it. Lock it in. Rudy Gay, the other guy that's questionable in Sacramento, he's at 7,000. Not sure I'd play him even if he was healthy, but if he's out, Omri Caspi at 4,700 definitely comes into play, and he becomes a guy to target. Yeah, that's about it. Power forward, Serge Ibaka was great against the Warriors, put up 45.5 points, but he's averaging just 29 across the last five. He's got a great matchup, a beautiful matchup, in fact, at $6,000. I don't hate using it. His lowest score across his last five is 24. Now, you think that, yeah, how bad he's been, but at 24, that's 4x value, and he can go bigger. So I'm okay with using Ibaka. Willie Cauley-Stein, I'm not okay with, and nor with Quincy Acey. At center, DeMarcus Cousins is a great play here. He's at 10,900, yes. He's a 54 average across his last five. The Thunder do have a negative ease ranking, but it's not dissuading me from using him. You feel like 45 points is going to be the minimum for Cousins. Steve Adams at 4,400. probably not, and Enes Kanter is only a tournament option at this point. The last game of the night has blowout written all over it. The Brooklyn Nets at the Clippers. The Clippers are favored by 13, and the total is 208.5. And the Nets have been more competitive lately, but the Clippers are rolling, so I'm not really sure that we're going to see full minute load from these guys. Chris Paul at 10,200. He's averaging 51, so you love him there, and it's a great matchup against the Nets. I'm okay with using him, but just be careful. Just be careful about this situation if they limit him. Instead of him playing 36 minutes, he plays 30. That could be an issue. Don Sloan at 4,800. I'd like Sloan more if the game was a blowout, because he wouldn't have to face Chris Paul as much. Can he put up 25? He's averaging 27 across his last five, so I think he is an okay guy to look at. Not a great option, but definitely someone who you can look at if you're looking for a cheap point guard. Shooting guards, JJ Redick at 4,900 is worth a punt in a tournament, probably not a cash game guy. And then you've got the Wayne Ellington, Markel Brown situation in Brooklyn. 3,800 for Ellington, dropped 29 in the last game, so that was great. Markel Brown, yeah, he's a 15 average across his last five. He's probably not someone I'd look at. Ellington, someone I'd look at in a tournament. His lower score, though, has been 7 points in his last five, so that's not ideal. Jamal Crawford has dropped off. He's losing minutes with guys like Cole Aldrich getting more run, Jeff Green getting more run. CJ Wilcox getting more run as well, and that's limiting Crawford, so he's not someone I'm loving at 5,000. Much rather spend $100 less and take JJ Redick. Speaking of Jeff Green, he's at 5,400, had a good game in the last one, a really nice ease matchup here for him. He should be able to get hopefully close to 30 minutes in this one, although Paul Pierce is returning, so maybe he only plays 26 or 27, but I do like Jeff Green at that price point. Bojan Bogdanovic at 3,500. Great tournament punt, and that's about it. Wes Johnson's usefulness seems to have evaporated, and Paul Pierce has never eventuated in the first place. At power forward, we've got Thad Young at 7,000. He's been smashing value, averaging 35 across his last five, 36 across his last three. Fine with using him. The Clippers are a little bit scary in terms of reducing points, but fine with using him. And we don't care about many of the other guys here. At center, DeAndre Jordan is at 8,200. Brooke Lopez is at 84. All the numbers point towards using Lopez, who's averaging 37 across his last three, 41 across his last five, had a higher minimum score as well. If I'm spending 8,000 out of these two, I'm definitely spending it on Lopez, who is going to be a focal point of this team's offense. Let's have a look at the DFS picks of the day for Monday. At point guard, Shelvin Mack, 3,500. I can't stress this enough. He's a tournament-only guy. Darren Collison, 5,200. Russ Westbrook, 11,000. Shooting guard, we've got a couple of nuggets there. Gaz Harris, 4,800. Will Barton, 6,000. And Jim Harden at 10,700. With the small forwards, Matty Barnes, 5,000. Jeffy Green, 54. And Kevin Durant, 10,600. Power forwards, Darrell Arthur, 37. Derek Favors, 70. Darrell Arthur, 37. Kenneth Faried, 6,000. And Derek Favors, 7,600. And the centers, Miles Plumlee, 36. Rudy Gobert, 6,900. And DeMarcus Cousins, 10,900. We are done today, guys. Make sure you are following me on Twitter and on Instagram at redrock_bball. Facebook is facebook.com/redrockbasketball. Join in those daily contests. Also, the best way to help support the podcast, aside from using SeatGeek and using that promo code redrock, is to subscribe and to leave a review on iTunes. It goes an immeasurable way towards helping the podcast grow and to reach more people, and for the show's quality to improve, for everything to just get better. So if you've got 5 minutes spare, go and leave a review, and I would be eternally grateful. Good luck in your playoffs start this week, if your playoffs have already started, if whatever you're doing in your fantasy leagues, in your DFS lineup, good luck with everything. We are done. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.